Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Om Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vilyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 34, The Nectar of Devotion, Verse 25109, Page 64. In separation, this rati develops its full form of rasa in astonishing bliss, and since it does not give up this form at all, any suffering is an appearance only. Srila Jiva Goswami. But how will these devotees experience rasa in the pain of separation, since rasa should be most blissful? This verse answers, it is a transformation of astonishing bliss because it is the essence of highest bliss, and because it has its cause in Bhagavan, who is the source of all bliss. It is called only an appearance of the greatest suffering because there is a superimposition of suffering on rati, caused by awareness of separation from the Lord. This suffering acts as a cause for further rati. As well, it disappears with the hope of attaining Krishna permanently. Vivarta, transformation, here means that the rasa develops its full form. The cause of rati, not giving up its nature, is mentioned. It is urjita, strong. Because the rati, attraction for the Lord, is strong, it does not give up of hope of attaining Krishna. It is not possible for it to do so. This is illustrated in Bhagavatam. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness. And freedom from such desire is the cause of greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.44. Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.47. So as the rati itself, it means it maintains its own position, so it doesn't change, right? It's just the transformation means it's taking on more and more elements that are there and brings it to its fullness. But the basic principle of its ecstatic position does not change. There's only that sense of not being with Krishna, right? Because the separation is from Krishna, the person. And anything in contact with Krishna, the person who is the source of all bliss, his form is bliss personified. Therefore, it's always going to be blissful. It just takes on that mood because there is the feeling of not being there with Krishna. Mm. But because you're absorbed in Krishna, it's of the highest bliss. Mm. Right? So it just creates an intensity. At the same time, there's always the hope that one will be with Krishna. So it can't change completely. You know, it means the form of it. It means it takes on that superimposition of separation. But it can't take that on as permanent because there's always the hope of meeting Krishna. Right? And that idea of being then with Krishna will be eternal. Does that make sense? So that rati is always there eternally. Yes.
It's said like when there is this description that Krishna appears to mitigate the sufferings of his devotees. And then one acharya comments, quoting this, that actually there is no suffering for a devotee. The only suffering for him is being separated from Krishna. Mm. And by appearing, Krishna is mitigating that suffering.
Mm.
So what is for a practicing sadhaka and pure devotee, it differs the understanding. That's why do like bad things happen even if I, why do I still suffer even if I am like practicing bhakti? that question shouldn't arise, because the suffering devotee should not feel any other suffering other than feeling separation.
Separation from Krishna. That's the only suffering. Yeah, because otherwise the material energy doesn't affect one. Because one's going to do one's service no matter what. And if you're looking at whatever situation I'm in, I'm going to serve Krishna. Therefore, whatever situation is there, whether it's seemingly on the material platform favorable or unfavorable, you're still going to serve Krishna. So it doesn't change.
Yeah. Can we say that the first thing is to renounce material desire, as Pingala did?
Yes.
Is the first step?
Yes, because if you cut off desire of the hope for material enjoyment, then you can be absorbed in Krishna. But if there's a hope of material enjoyment, then the problem is that where will Krishna fit in? You understand? Because if we're absorbed materially, then we're not thinking of Krishna. You know, if we do, it'll be mixed with that. So the point is this platform of bhava means it's just about Krishna. That's the whole thing, is it's exclusive. Well, that's what you're doing, is that the neophyte platform means it's mostly about yourself. Then you gradually give that up. You come to the Madhyama platform where it's about Krishna, but you know, you still have that, your identity and these kind of things. But then when it gets to the Uttama platform, it's just about Krishna. So then the perfection of how it's about Krishna. Just like in meditation, you have dhyan and then you have samadhi. Right, so even though you may be absorbed in Krishna and dhyan, you have to bring it to samadhi, where it's exclusive and it's deep, it's intense. That will then bring you to the being qualified to associate with Krishna, because if Krishna is going to interact with you, you know, then he being consciousness is always going to be conscious, and everything being him, he's conscious of everything. So there's no question of him getting distracted. But we can get distracted, because for him, the inside and outside are the same. But for us, being the energy, we might see it differently. But for Krishna, being the source of the energy, him and his energy are not different. But we might see it different. You know what I'm saying? So, if we are interacting with him and not seeing it in connection with him, just seeing the energy, then we won't be on the same platform as he is. So how will he be satisfied in that interaction? That's why one has to come to samadhi. That brings you, then you're qualified for apandasa, to be able to associate with the Lord. But until you come to that platform, you're not qualified, because, you know, it's just like you're talking to somebody and they keep looking at their watch and looking at the window and doing, you know, it's just, it's how do you have a proper interaction? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Usually when we attain disattachment by just by because of disappointment without spiritual practice, it goes short time. And the key about example of what Pingala was given in Srimad Bhagavatam, does it mean that she became Krishna's devotee after this disappointment?
Yes. Like that. Because she's seeing that the point is this material world's always going to be disappointing. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's a problem that from disappointment then you take up. But it's not that the disappointment, it's because she has that spiritual knowledge. Then comparing that spiritual knowledge to the material position, you naturally get disappointed. So it's only because she had that kind of position, then it had meaning. Otherwise, people get disappointed and they think up a new way of doing it. Things. You know, I went to that restaurant and the menu was somehow disappointing. I'll go to another restaurant. I don't give up on restaurants. Does that make sense? Yeah. But she gave up on the whole concept. She gave up on it, therefore completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers. Pingala very happily went to sleep. So she just gave up the material and then came to that spiritual platform. So that rati, 25110. That rati which has the son of Nanda as the object reaches the height of most intense bliss. 2511. One drop, 25111. One drop of this happiness of Braja Krishna, by its power, drinks up the ocean of happiness embodied in the husband of Rukmini, just as Agastya Muni drank the ocean to assist the devatas. So, the Agastya Muni drank up the ocean because they were trying to fight with these demons, and they were hiding under the ocean, right? Because that's the thing, is that I think Varuna is known as Asura Maya, right? Because he gives shelter to the Asuras. So they go, they can go down the ocean and take shelter there and stay down there. You know, it's fine because it's down the bottom, so it doesn't, you know, it's just like Patala, it's all on the bottom. So, you know, they have to go somewhere and someone's in charge. So then Arjuna couldn't fight with them. And so then Agastya, then he said, okay, I'll drink the ocean. So then by drinking up the ocean, then the demons are revealed, right? And then Arjuna killed them all. So in the same way, just as that easy, he drank the ocean. Then the same way, as by a drop of this happiness of Braja Krishna, then that whole ocean of happiness that one gets in embodied in Dwarka Krishna, it just disappears. So whatever happiness is there in Dwarka Krishna, means for us appreciating Dwarka Krishna, that just disappears just by a drop of appreciating Braja Krishna. That makes sense. Yeah. So so that's the whole point, because it's just sweetness. It's just that aspect is so much greater.
Description is like it drinks up, it doesn't disappear, but it takes it in itself. One drop can take it.
Oh, the drop itself takes it. Yeah, so it means it's already included. So it's not that it's... Yeah, that's okay. A good point. Is that the happiness there, it already includes the happiness of Krishna in Dwarka.
Yes.
Like that. So that's the thing. It's not that that enhances the Braja Krishna. It means that it's already included.
Yes.
Srila Jiva Goswami. Having spoken generally of the superiority of Rati for Krishna, now more specifically the Rati of Krishna and Braja is described. Ramesha here describes to Krishna when he takes the position of the husband of Rukmini in Dwarka. This has already been clearly explained previously in verses such as Hari Purnatma, Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu 221. And it's like those where the numbers reverse and stuff like that. Yeah. And tatrapye kantinam shreshta Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1258 25112. Because Rati and the other elements are non-different from the Hladini Shakti, Rasa also is self-revealing and consists only of Rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. Paramananda here refers to Hladini Shakti. Rati is non-different from it, because its root is Hladini Shakti. Footnote 34. The definition of Rati or Bhava says it is Shuddha Sattva Visheshadma, which means Rati is composed of the Hladini and Sattvic Samvit Shaktis. The form of... Does that make sense? So but the highest happiness and Hladini then are meaning the same thing. Because when you're dealing in this bhakti, it means it's already included. Bhakti includes these aspects. The form of Krishna is the Vibhava. This form is non-different from the Hladini Shakti, because the Lord, origin of the Shakti, and his Shakti are considered one. So his form being where the Rati is applied, where your attraction to the Lord is applied, to Krishna, because he's the source of the Hladini Shakti, then this attraction and that form that one is attracted to already includes the Hladini Shakti. So that means the pleasure potency is there, so the highest happiness is there. Right? So that's why it's explaining that, because you're absorbed in Krishna, then then there's not going to be any lessening of happiness because of separation. It just has that superimposition of separation, so it takes on a different flavor. Right? So then the Sanchari and Anubhavas will be different. But the point is it's still the same thing because it's Krishna. So since you're absorbed in Krishna, why won't it have that element of happiness?
Does
that make sense?
Okay. It seems that anyone who is absorbed in Krishna, even for a small moment, is touching this Ladini Shakti.
Yes.
And it is why we can experience happiness even at a different level.
Yes, yes. It's just a matter of the volume. Because we're taking it that, let us, it's as is in the Nandavali Taittiriya Upanishad. Then it's explaining that it's going to explain bliss or happiness. So you have to be able to measure it. So it's using as a measure. If someone is the sovereign, undisputed emperor of the whole earth, and we'll take that as one unit of happiness. So, if we take that, then all of us can consider that's greater than what we have.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise, then we'll say, oh, but you can't compare, my happiness is no. No one has that.
Yes.
Right? So, then, taking that as one, and you can't say, oh, it doesn't happen, because we have had kings in the past that have been emperor of the whole earth. Yudhishthira Maharaj and kings previous to him.
Yes.
Yayati and all those great personalities. So, it is something obtainable. And we see, and we can imagine, if you were emperor of the whole earth, it wouldn't be bad, right? So that's taken as one unit of happiness. Indra's, the living entities of the Antariksha, theirs is 100 times that. So the Rakshasas, Yakshas, and that, it's 100 times that.
Okay.
Right? Because they have special powers in that, so they're above the humans.
Yes.
Like that. The Antariksha is above our platform, not below. Right? Like that. They may be situated below, but their actual happiness is greater. Right? Then above that, you could say, are the 100 times that are the residents of the heavenly planets. Right? Just the citizens. Then above that are the lords of the directions. The eight, like that. The ones that deal with, manage the universe. Then 100 times that is Indra.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then 100 times that is Bhrigu.
Mm-hmm.
Or Brihaspati. Right? And then 100 times that are the Prajapatis. Because Bhrigu will be part of the Prajapatis. 100 times that is Brahma. Right? And so, you can see it's each time it's times 100.
Yes, yes.
So we're getting quite a few zeros here.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's just considered to be a drop compared to the ocean of happiness of liberation, of Brahman.
Yeah.
And that is a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited, shoreless ocean of prema. So, therefore, if you're just getting a small portion of that, it's way greater than anything around here.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why the devotee is inspired. That's why they're attracted. They come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And it's an experience that has never been experienced before.
Yes.
Never. It means in their whole time in the material world, it's never been experienced. Because it's beyond that of Brahma. It's beyond that of liberation. So all aspects of karma, all aspects of jnana is beyond that. That's why I said the devotee is liberated. Whether he fully appreciates it and acts on that platform, but that's his situation. Is that? The Anubhavas and Vyabhichari Bhavas arise from Rati. Thus, the Ladini Shakti is said to be non-different from Rati and the other elements. Right? Because, in other words, the happiness gained in Rasa is non-different from that attraction to Krishna. So, in other words, the attraction to Krishna That's giving rise to all these other elements.
Yes.
Because it's Vladini is non-different from Krishna, you're attracted to Krishna, it's automatically part of this whole cycle of rasa. Does that make sense? You know, because you're attracted to Krishna, that gives rise to all the ecstatic symptoms that come after that. Yes.
Then Rati is part, it's like the Bhakti Shakti itself?
Or? Yeah. It means it would all be within that. You're just making definition within that. You know, because Bhakti includes all that, includes the knowledge, includes the activities, includes the experience. You know, because it's the combination of the Samvit and Sandini Shakti. Right? And then, by dealing in there, the Sandini, which is the knowledge Shakti, reveals. So that's why it said, if you just perform Bhakti, you don't have to separately endeavor for knowledge. Because we're discussing now about Krishna. So that's Bhakti. And from that, then, because of that aspect of devotion, Sandini will reveal this knowledge. But scholars could sit down and study this all day and still not understand it. They'll come up with their own ideas. They have to. That's their discipline. But actually, to understand and realize, that will never happen. So we're used to the point of, I study it, that's why I know it. But here it's no, because of devotion, that's why I know. Because you study it, you still don't know it. But when I just go through in devotion, then I know it. So knowledge is revealed by the Sandini potency when bhakti is performed. It's not separately, what do you call it? Approachable. Does that make sense? Because they are part of the Vladini Shakti, they produce the greatest bliss, which causes rejection of the bliss of liberation and brings the Lord under control. Previously shown in 1.1.17, footnote 35. The two qualities of bhakti which manifest in Bhava Rati are moksha, laguta kriti, and sudurlabha. Yeah, just mention to him to put the ingriji. The form of because of this oneness between Vladini Shakti, Paramananda, Tadatmyat, with Rati and other elements, then when one considers Rati's essential features, Vastuta, rasa also should be accepted as self-revealing. Swa parak prakashatvam. That means that rasa is not dependent on the mind or other factors to appear, right? Because that's what we were saying before, is because we were discussing about how in the audience and everything there, then it's because of the audience, then it's appreciated, right? Because it's the audience the one who's appreciating. You know, you're just sitting there doing the drama yourself, then it's not necessarily, you may appreciate, but it's when the audience is there, that's when it really comes out. But here it's pointing out that it's not dependent upon the mind, it's independent. But the point is when everything is all together nicely, then you're able to appreciate.
Yes.
But it's that you're performing the devotional activity as recommended. So what we say is that the rasa should be, all the elements should be in the proper position. That's because that's recommended. That's what Shastra says. That's what the acharyas give us.
Yes.
Is what is the proper position and activities for a particular rasa to manifest, right? You know, so in the context that you're saying of the drama, then how a drama is performed, how it's done, then that's what's supposed to be. You do it like that, it's appreciated. You don't do it like that, it's not appreciated. You know, you can say, yes, that, this, that. You know, it's just like you have a bad ending. There are a few people who really appreciate that because they say, yes, this is realistic, it makes you think, and this and that. Yeah, but you could think without the movie. If you need a movie to think, you got a problem. You know, you should be able to think without that. You know? So, but if it has a proper ending, then people appreciate it. You know, and then those who don't appreciate it, like bad endings, will say, oh, that's just Hollywood, that's just box office, that's... No, it's because it's the nature of rasa. So they want to taste... you know, how you say, bummed out rasa, then, yeah, you have to have a bad ending. But that's one rasa, but they're taking it, that rasa is the rasa. Their pessimism is the pinnacle of perfection. No, bliss is, ananda is the perfection. Like that, because their pessimism is because they don't get the other, and so that's why they say it's realistic. But if you want realism, read the newspaper, you know, while you're watching the movie. So that's the thing that comes up, is that it's still independent of the individuals. The happiness is still separate from that, because it comes from the Haladini Shakti, and all these other elements are within that, because they're non-different from Krishna. So, yeah. That means that rasa is not dependent on the mind or other factors to appear. That rasa is also considered to consist exclusively of rasa and nothing else. Akandatvam. It just consists of itself. It's not that we can make it happen. It just consists of itself, and we can take part in it, right? Mm. So this comes down to, how does that work, right? Because why do you do something, right? Do you do things that you're not confident you can accomplish? You'll do things you're confident you can accomplish. Why? Because then, having accomplished it, whose result is it? Yours, right? You did it. It's yours. But now, if rasa is, we're not actually an important element, means we're not the element that makes it happen. It's independent. Then what is our relationship? Are we the doer in rasa? We can be an assistant or a servant or an instrument. But we can't be the one that makes rasa happen. So that's why the point of being an instrument, being a servant, you know, and even a menial servant. So it's like we're not a servant, like, let's say, we're the viceroy or something like that to the king. So then we're going to think, you know, yeah, I'm a big guy. But no, we're humble servant. Then we can take part in this. Then we can taste rasa. Does that make sense? 2.5.1.13. It has previously been stated that rati has two types, primary and secondary. Therefore, rasa also has primary and secondary types. 2.5.1.14. Though there are five types of primary rati, only one is considered, since only one is manifest as most prominent in an individual devotee. Right? So you have five rasas. Someone will be situated in one of those. Mm-hmm. There might be a slight mix. Mm-hmm. Like Yudhishthira will be parental with the friendship, you know, like that, or Arjuna, you know, it'll have there may be some mixes like that, but one's prominent, so you'll say Arjuna, they're in friendship rasa, right? So the one will be prominent, all the others then will be subservient to that, whatever's there. So it's only that one, it's through that mood it'll be there. The one primary rati combines with the seven secondary ratis to perform eight ratis, which produce eight rasas for one person. Right? So the one person can, out of the 12, can taste eight. Because there's going to be the primary, one of those, not all five. Then there'll be then what the secondary rasas, then they can be there supportive. Does that make sense? Because those, then, the secondary rasas, they can support any of the five rasas, basically. You know, some will be prominent one and another and not like this, but basically, as far as if you're dealing with it as just the logic of it, or the mechanics of it, then it's going to be the eight rasas, right? So you can't taste 12. There are 12, but you can only deal with eight, based off of one. Yes.
Maximum eight, or can be less?
It might be less, but the point is it's maximum eight. It's not going to get more. So you just discuss it as eight. So in specific situations, one rati may not be able to come up. You know, is that something? Yeah. Okay.
All the other poets before, they segregated rasas as nine without distinguishing as primary and secondary. This seven secondary plus Madhurya rasa and as well as the Shanta rasa. Rupa Goswami gave more to it by segregating it in this way, because then we are, one has to explain how everything functions along with the other three also.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he is considered the topmost.
Yes. So he's Rasacharya. But he'll always be quoting from Bharat Muni and others, but he's still the Acharya. 25115, Mukhya Rasa, primary rasa. The primary bhakti rasas are five: Shanta, Priya, Preya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. The order of excellence is from first to last, right? So as they go from Shanta, then it starts there, and each one as it goes is more excellent, because Priti will include Shanta, Preya will include Shanta and Priti, Vatsalya will include those, Matsalya will include all the others. Srila Jiva Goswami. Anuttama here means inferior. The previous ones are progressively inferior. Right? So then that means that Madhurya is the top, and then it goes down from there. Because Madhurya includes all the others, and then it goes down. Gauna Rasa, secondary rasa. There are seven secondary rasas. Hasya, humor. Adbhuta, astonishment. Vira, enthusiasm. Karuna, lamentation. Raudra, anger. Bhayanaka, fear. And Bibhatsa, disgust. 25117. Thus there are a total of 12 primary and secondary rasas. But in the Puranas, only 5 are mentioned. 25118. Translation. Translation? Oh, so this is the translation for a verse that's being quoted. Oh, but we don't need translation, right?
Actually, we remove everything sometimes.
Huh?
We remove that translation.
Oh, because sometimes they are persistent. Even though it was hiding behind the T there. The 12 rasas have 12 colors as follows: white, shanta, multicolored, priti, orange, prayan or shakya, footnote 36. Aruna, color of the dawn, could also be pink. But it's, you know, because it's light, but when it comes out, it has the yellowness to it, so therefore it has that orange or saffron. Then crimson, vatsalya, indigo, madhura. Indigo is what? It's kind of like a purpley. Blue and red. Okay. Then light yellow, hasya. Yellow or green, adbhuta, footnote 37. Bharat Muni gives pita a yellow for adbhuta. The word here uses pingala, which can mean yellow or green. Because green means it has yellow in it. There's just a touch of blue, like that. So it just depends upon how the adbhuta is. Because it's, you're amazed by it, but it can also be not as. Right? Then gold, vira. 38. Gaura can mean gold, white, yellow, or red as well, but white, yellow, and red have been used for other rasas. Purple, karuna. Red, raudra. Black, bhayanaka. And blue, bibhatsa. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, the colors are assigned according to poetic conventions, such as assigning the color white to fame. One can assign personalities with colors to the rasas, such as personalities like Chandra are signed to personify the mind. Right? So, because everything's coming out of Krishna and it's there, so any one thing that you take, you can get all the other things coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 25119. So that's how all the different colors, the taste, all the musical notes, the ragas, all these things will be all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's an unlimited aspect.
Mm-hmm.
25119. There are 12 deities assigned to the 12 rasas as follows: Kapila, Shanta, Madhava, Priti or Dasya, Upendra, Prayan or Shakya, Nrsingha, Vatsalya, Krishna, Madhurya, Balaram, Hasya, Kurma, Adbhuta, Kalki, Vira, Rama, Karuna, Parasuram, Raudra, Varaha, Bhayanaka, and Mina, Bibhatsa. Footnote 39. Kapila can represent Shantaras because of his stance in meditation. Perhaps Madhava represents Dasya ras because of the derivation of Madhava as Ma, Lakshmi, and Dava, husband, meaning Narayana. Rupendra or Vamana can represent Sakya ras because he has a friendship relationship with Indra and acts as the doorkeeper in Sutala for Bali. Nrsingha can represent Vatsalya rasa because of his regarding Prahlad as his son, placing him on his lap. Krishna naturally represents Madhura rasa. Balaram is fond of joking and therefore suitable to represent Hasya rasa. Kurma represents Adbhuta rasa because of his huge, unusual, but suitable form for the task at hand. Kalki is famous for having the sword in his hand and thus represents Veera. Rama represents Karuna because of his lamentation at losing Sita. But it's also Karuna is the compassion, that kindness. And so it's also connected with the conjugal rasa. So Karuna can be the compassion, but you also see its lamentation. So that aspect is they go together. Parasuram destroyed the Kshatriyas out of anger and is thus suitable to represent Raudra Rasa. Varaha represents fear, Bhayanaka, perhaps because of he created fear in the ocean when he dove in and had a fearful appearance covered with blood after killing Hiranyaksha. Maybe they draw, I'm not sure. It didn't come up here. Oh no, it's coming. It's coming in next Jiva Goswami. So. Isn't it? Oh no, that's another one. But it can also be Mina. But in Bengal, that wouldn't be a problem because Bengalis like fish. So it's not going to. Maybe if there's no fish, then they get disgusted. So. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, direct and indirect attraction for Krishna. Transcendental pleasure derived from devotional service can be divided into two groups, direct devotional service and direct indirect devotional service. Direct devotional service is divided into five transcendental humors or flavors, and indirect devotional service is divided into seven transcendental humors. Direct devotional services are as follows: neutrality, servitude, fraternity, parental, and conjugal love. Indirect devotional service is divided into laughter, compassion, anger, chivalry, dread, astonishment, and ghastliness. Devotional service can therefore be divided into 12 types, each of which has a different color. The colors are white, multicolored, orange, red, light green, gray, yellow, off-whitish, smoky, pink, black, and cloudy. So even when it's green, it's a light green, because it's more on the yellow side. But yellow, it can have that little bit of green to it, right? The 12 different kinds of transcendental humors are controlled by different incarnations of God, such as Kapila, Madhava, Upendra, Nrsingha, Nanda, Nandana, Balaram, Kurma, Kalki, Raghava, Bhargava, Varaha, and Matsya.
Matsya is the same because it's dissolution time. Dissolution is
Name of Lord Jagannath Nila Madhava, does it mean that it represents mostly the Bhakti Rasa?
Not necessarily, but you see he's there with Balaram and all that, so then he's going to have that kind of flavor, because he's here with his brother, he's there with his sister. But the point is that the name has, you know, unlimited aspects to it. So this one aspect applies here. Because otherwise, how do you put, you know, yeah, so this, for this one color, we're giving these, you know, just as a, how you say, just as an indication, these 108,000 names. You know, and then for the next one, you know, like that. So they get one name, basically. And that, so there's some connection there, though there are so many other aspects. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Which form is connected with Dasya Rasa?
Madhava.
What's the explanation?
It was given here is because of Madhava is a combination of Ma, Lakshmi, and Dava, the husband of Lakshmi. And so she's always in that mood of service. So Padasevana comes, you know, from her. So So it's a conjugal rasa, means with him, but everybody else, it's the service is there. Because the point is even though she's in the conjugal rasa, it's not something that's considered in the element of rasas when you're dealing with Vaikuntha. Right? And so, because the Vaikuntha, it'll simply be that there's servitorship and there's shanta. There's only those two. So other elements are there. It's just that's just the way it is. The Lord, because he has his energy, he has his consort. But it's not that it's available for us. So it's not a point of discussion other than, so she knows perfectly how to serve, so we assist her in service. So there's always, it's just going to be dasya. So from that aspect, then you can say is then Madhava.
The Madhava is like Vishnu.
Yes, yes, in this case.
Different colors of skin of inhabitants of Vrindavan, servants of Krishna, they connected with
the rasas? Emotions. Maybe, I'm not sure. We haven't come across those somewhere. Yeah, because otherwise you have gold, so the gopis are gold colored. You know, so then is that Vira? You know what I'm saying, but there is that thing, is the battlefield of love. So you do have that element. So there will be some connection, but it's not that it's just that. You understand? It means this has that element, but then there's all those things within that, because what creates that? Right? So they're just showing that these have that, but it's not that it just fits into that and that's all. There's all these subtleties. That's why you see they don't get so much into that. It's not our thing. Tantra, that's totally what they're into, is that kind of stuff. But we don't get into it so much. It's just how much is useful, that's what we use. But the whole science is behind it.
Yes. Just like we discussed in the Bhagavad Sandarbha before, that Krishna is like black and then Shiva is white. That doesn't represent the modes.
Modes, yes. Yes. Yes.
So it doesn't work according to modes. And
yes. Does that make sense? So that's why then the name, just because it has Madhava in it, then it doesn't mean that it's, you know, French. So Lalita Madhava, so that means the servant Ras, but then Lalita, then that means the one who's subservient to the girlfriend, so therefore, oh yeah, subservient to the girlfriend, so it's this matter of service. So it's just, it's about the Dasya Rasa. It's a play about Dasya. You know what I'm saying? It may have that, because the point is that Madhava may have that element of service, but it's within the conjugal context. So you may have the colors within the colors, within the, you know what I'm saying, like that. So it's just that it gives these. Yeah. So we shouldn't get too much into these. Yeah.
This is mentioned in the Nachi Shastra. This is primarily depicting of a particular rasa. But now we have so many Anubhavas and Achari Bhavas within that. Externally, it seems wondrous, but actually, it's something else. So
it has so many,
so many varieties.
Yeah.
Within it.
Yeah. So otherwise, yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, then all of you is Shantaras. You're wearing the white. Is that you're trying to be peaceful? Yes.
Which form is responsible for Karuna Rasa once again?
Which?
Karuna.
Rama. Lord Rama.
Compassion.
Yes. Ram. Yeah, because of the Maryada, it has that aspect. Stila. No? Sri Lajiva Goswami. For the rasas related to the Lord, avatars of the Lord are given as the presiding deity. So right? Presiding deity, it doesn't mean that these other aspects aren't there. Right? Just as forms of the Lord, such as Aniruddha, are assigned to the moon, etc. Kiri means Varaha. Sometimes Buddha is substituted for Mina, since Mina has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And it would be distasteful to assign him the rasa of disgust. Right, footnote 40. Buddha, a Shaktivesh avatar, showed disgust with the material world and went searching for the truth. Right, so that works very nicely there. But, you know, meaning is there because you have the destruction and all that, so it has to be that aspect. Because in when disgust, then there's the aspect of destruction. So then it's a pastime during the destruction that the Mina avatar is there. But you know, it's also.
But now, to appreciate all this, we need to have a complete picture of the thing.
That's why the faith is very important, because then however much we come in contact with will appreciate. Because otherwise, if we're just taking it as knowledge, it won't make sense to us. It has to be based on that faith in the Lord, that transcendental position, and how all this is everything's contained in the Lord, and all this is as the acharyas give us, this is all correct. You know. So then these things will have meaning. We'll be able to apply them where as they apply. Otherwise, then we'll get too much into that. Though it's scriptural, but we'll take it too far.
So,
like that. Because it just says that these are the presiding deities. It doesn't mean that everything in that color fits into that rasa or all those deities, they fit into that particular rasa. Like that. 2.5.1.20. There are five tastes in the bhakti rasas: purti, vikasha, vistara, vikshepa, and kshoba. 2.5.1.21. The learned say that purti, satisfaction, is manifested in shantarasa. Vikasha, brightness, is manifested in all the rasas from Priti to Hasya. Vistara, expansion, is manifest in Virarasa and Adbhuta Rasa. Vikshepa, distraction, is manifested in Karuna Rasa and Raudra Rasa. And Kshoba, disturbance, is manifested in Bayanaka Rasa and Vibhatsa Rasa. Right, so there's these different tastes. So that's why you see someone can get into something, this disturbance, bhayanaka and vibhatsa. You know, so fear and disgust. Right? So then people can get into that as a taste in rasa. Yeah. And you find some people that only deal in this rasa. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? No matter what you're doing, it'll come up. No matter what anybody does, it's wrong, it's not right, it's the this and that, they get a taste from that. Or whatever you bring up, it turns into a conspiracy theory, you know, they're afraid and this and that. And does that make sense? So there's a taste there, you know, or in what do you call it, Vira Rasa and Adbhuta, it has to be great, it has to be amazing, it has to be, you know, so it's showing that. Here is that so in Shantarasa you have satisfaction, then the brightness is there all the way through to Hasya. Mm-hmm. Right? Then after that, then you get expansion, is there Vira and Adbhuta. Mm-hmm. Right? Distraction is Karuna and Raudra, right? Concerned compassion and Raudra, the anger, you're distracted. It can also mean Karuna can mean lamentation. Mm-hmm. Right? So does that make sense? So that you see in the... And then Kshoba's disturbance. Right? Okay, and disturbance is Vayanaka and Vibhatsa. So these the general flavors are then contained within these rasas. And so that's why you see it, someone can appreciate. So we see it nicely goes that the Shanta ras, it has that aspect. There, the jnanis, the great sages, and everything like that. So it's one particular kind of rasa. Then from there, dasya to the conjugal, and including hasya, then that has that brightness to it. And so then they all go together very nicely. Srila Prabhupada. Sustenance, manifestation, expansion, reflection, and lamentation are the five visible symptoms of exchanges in ecstatic love. The test of devotional service can therefore be made in terms of these five symptoms. Mm-hmm. In the devotional service of neutrality, there is sustenance. In chivalrous devotional service, there is expansion. In compassionate devotional service, there is reflection. In angry devotional service, there is lamentation. And so on. Right? So you can see as these qualities are there. Because otherwise he says, yes, but are you satisfied? Is there sustenance? Is it just maintaining? It's not, one's not trying for more and one's not worried about it changing or there being less. 2.5.1.22. Right, so we also see is that when the point's being made, the acharyas give the comment, then we can, some of us have a tendency to get into these connections too much. Yeah. You see, when Prabhupada gives, he just mentions that they're there. They're all the deities. You don't necessarily have to connect them.
Yes.
It's just to know that everything's personal, everything has its things, there's a background to everything. Because it's all coming from Krishna. 25122. Though all the bhakti rasas are the embodiment of pure happiness, among the rasas there is sometimes a special, deep, and incomparable taste. 25123. Though the completely ignorant people and those with mistaken knowledge think immediately that rasas such as karuna are full of grief, those persons with knowledge of rasas say that these rasas are full of profound bliss. Right? So all these rasas have so much happiness in them. The unlimited bliss, that's why it's used.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So those with knowledge, because otherwise you take, oh, there's grief in that, so that can't be good.
Yes.
Srila Jiva Goswami. There are five types of people to consider. Those who experience rasa, bhavya bhakta. Those who experience the stage of bhava, bhavaka bhakta. Those who understand about rasa, pragya, intellectually. Those who are mistaken about rasa, agya. And those who know nothing about rasa, gramya. Yeah, so you have gramya kata. That means you can also have agya kata. It's just they have no idea what they're talking about. And then when everyone's talking about being very smart, then you have the pragya kata. You know, like that. So, yeah. So footnote 47. Vrajanath. Okay. What are the different classes of devotees eligible to cultivate rasa? Goswami. There are two kinds of rasopa yogi. Devotees eligible to taste rasa, the sadhaka and the siddha. Vrajanath. Who are the sadhakas? Goswami. The sadhaka is a devotee who has attained attraction for Sri Krishna, but is not yet completely freed from all anartas. He is engaged in qualifying himself to have the darshan of Sri Krishna by the cultivation of devotion in Krishna consciousness. The Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46 describes the Madhyama Adhikari, devotees belonging to the category of sadhaka.
Mm-hmm.
An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so then in this way, you could say is the full form of the sadhaka.
Yes.
Not that the neophyte's not a sadhaka, but they can tend to be very distracted by things other than the sadhana. While the Madhyama tends to be stable in the sadhana and stable in seeing things in connection with devotional service, though, as it mentions before, a sadhaka is a devotee who has attained attraction for Sri Krishna but not yet completely freed from all anartas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if the attraction for Krishna is not so strong or the anartas are more strong, that would put one into the neophyte category. But it's not that one's not, but you can say it's the full form is the Madhyama Adhikari. Does that make sense? So that's why you see is that if you're coming to preach and that you're taking that position of the sadhaka, that's why the uttamas come and take the position of the sadhaka, of the Madhyama. Right? And then as neophytes, then we'll take the position of the Madhyama to preach. Because that's the position. That's the position from which everything works. So if you're below that, you still try to emulate that in your practice. If you're above that, you just take that form on so that you can distinguish. Because otherwise they don't see the difference between a conditioned and a liberated living entity. They see them all as servants of the Lord. So they're going to deal with them all in that way. But only they can do that. That's why you see Prahlad Maharaj is dealing with the sons of the demons, you know, and just teaching them Krishna consciousness, and they're taking it.
Yes.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, how often does that work for us? Right? You know, you're sitting there in high school and you have some idea and you bring it up, everybody just makes fun of you or harasses you or, you know, it's just, yeah. So you can understand uttamas can do that. Right?
At a very young age.
Yeah, and that from that, yeah.
So Maharaj, can we say that when we speak about the association of devotee, sometimes we need to be preached. Sometimes we need to help other person. It is the same principle inside the association of devotees.
Yes, yes, because you have the aspect of that guhyam akiti preachati. That's the whole thing. The confidential talk is about Krishna. So sometimes you're speaking about someone's inquiring. Sometimes you're inquiring from someone else.
Yes.
So that's the important thing, is that it's understood it all goes together. Otherwise, it takes on the flavors that, okay, you're the preacher, you can only preach, you can't,
yes,
you don't ask any questions.
Yes. Yes.
You know, or I can only ask questions, I can't preach.
Yes.
But the point is whatever you've learned, you can preach. And to learn more, you have to be inquiring from somebody.
Yes.
That's the parampara.
Yes.
So the person who's the teacher is inquiring from his teacher, and the person who's learning is inquiring from that teacher. And then once they learn that, then they can teach it to someone else.
Yes, yes.
So it always goes.
So there is always a system of studying and teaching.
Yes, like that. But you also see that's where Lord Chaitanya makes that distinction between Jiva Doya and Vaishnav Seva. Because Jiva Doya means compassion to the living entities, so therefore the preaching and all that. But Vaishnav Seva then means associating with the devotees and then doing things in the context of the devotees.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because otherwise we have a tendency to think it's just the preaching is the only thing, and if you're not out preaching, you're just sitting with devotees and cultivating that, you're wasting your time.
Yes.
But that's an important part of our mission.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. You know, oh, we don't have time to appreciate Krishna consciousness. We just preach, but then that's nama ruchi.
Yes.
So all these three have to be there.
Mm.
Otherwise, then it's just because sometimes I want to you ask. So you're preaching to make someone a devotee, and making him a devotee. What's the purpose of that? So they'll go out and preach to the others. Okay, but is there an ultimate goal to this? It's just everybody will be preaching to others to make devotees. Where is the association of the Vaishnavas? Where is the Nama Ruchi? Where is the taste for the holy name? Taste for devotional service?
Yes.
So that's what becomes the problem. They only see one out of these three. And it's important. It's our mission. But at the same time, the thing is it's those, basically it comes down to those who appreciate the Lord and His holy name and relish that, they're then showing compassion to the other living entities so they can come up and taste that. That's why when Prabhupada would say, our movement, you know, is chanting, dancing, and taking prasad.
Yes.
That's what we do. So those who relish chanting, dancing, and taking prasad, they're preaching to others to get them so they can also relish chanting, dancing, and taking prasad.
Yes.
But otherwise you think, oh, I'm not chanting, I'm doing this service, I'm cleaning the hallway, I'm washing pots, you know. So I'm not doing that. But no, that's all within Jiva Doya so that people can come and appreciate. That's why you have the program. Like the Sunday program is that everybody can come and associate and appreciate those three. You know, that's what it's for. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be seen, and that way then you get a taste, because there's a taste. That's why then you go further, you go deeper into it. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki. Jai Nitai, go with him.